It's Marketplace Tech for May 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Tesla reports its first quarter earnings. The company just announced its new Model 3 about a month ago. Its long-anticipated Model X SUV has a much-touted biodefense feature that is supposed to protect passengers from the outside environment. But how long are car buyers likely to wait for a cool new Tesla? Sally Herships takes a look.
Tesla's newest car, the Model 3, has about 400,000 reservations. Impressive, but David Whiston, an analyst with Morningstar, says careful. Don't confuse new with successful.
Generally, anything that's new about Tesla, people get excited about.
Whiston says last year, Tesla only sold a little over 50,000 cars worldwide.
Compare that to GM or Toyota or Volkswagen, who each sell 10 million units a year.
And the company still has a ways to go before it takes over the automotive world, even with its newest car. Colin Langan is an auto analyst with UBS.
I think you have to, be concerned about how profitable the Model 3 is going to be.
The Model 3 isn't due out until next year. It's a lot less fancy than Tesla's current offerings, but it's also a whole lot cheaper. So consumers could decide to wait, which means one big question.
What's going to happen in the period as you're waiting for the Model 3?
In the meantime, analysts say investors excited about Tesla could just be paying for long-term potential rather than immediate profit. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
If you had a friend in Brazil or you were in Brazil and you wanted to use your trusty WhatsApp service to communicate in the last few days, you were dealing with a whole lot of nope. The problem? A period of the Facebook-owned app going dark in that country, thanks to a judge's court order telling telecom companies in Brazil to shut down WhatsApp for 72 hours. That ban went into effect Monday and was overturned on Tuesday. The whole situation is related to criminal cases and a battle between government and WhatsApp over access to user data. This is actually the second time this kind of staring contest has happened in recent months there. We talked to the BBC's Julia Carneiro in Rio de Janeiro while the ban was still in effect. She said 100 million people use the service in Brazil.
Lots of Brazilian users are trying to find alternatives so they can keep communicating. Basically, this is what this is about. People are feeling pretty much silenced in their habit of using the phone all the time. And many people are downloading Telegram.
Telegram is another encrypted messaging platform, which at one point got so much extra texting traffic that its systems buckled and it couldn't deliver messages either. Carneiro says the WhatsApp ban had an impact on businesses in Brazil as well.
People working in sales use it to get to customers. Recently, I rented a car, and the way the deal was closed was pretty much through WhatsApp.
The suspension was lifted by an appeals court thanks to an injunction from WhatsApp's lawyers, but the larger battle, far from settled, and it might feel a little familiar.
We've seen cases like this in the U.S. of the FBI demanding that Apple hack into iPhones. And here it's this tug of war now between Brazilian justice and WhatsApp and Facebook.
The BBC's Julia Carneiro in Rio de Janeiro. We're in a weird moment right now where a lot of people are cutting the cord and canceling their cable. A recent report from Convergence Consulting suggests as many as 1 in 5 households have canceled their monthly cable bill. And at the same time, a lot of companies are trying to provide options online that look kind of like the deal you had before you cut the cord. One example is streaming service Hulu, which is reportedly working on a $40 per month service that would combine live TV with shows you can stream and even a DVR to record things for later, not unlike another service called Sling TV. Meanwhile, the video sharing company Vimeo, based here in New York, bought a service called VHX this week, which might help it do more direct-to-consumer selling of its more independent content. We went to Vimeo's headquarters to sit down for a talk about the company's business with CEO Carrie Trainer.
Tell me about the company you bought this week.
So on Monday, we announced the acquisition of VHX, which is a platform for powering white label subscription video channels. So this means, independent channels of video being delivered outside of the traditional cable ecosystem or cable bundle. And now any creator can essentially launch their own version of Netflix.
You got a lot of competition. What do you think your leg up is against these much, much bigger companies?
Well, the key difference is that Vimeo is an open open platform, right? So a creator can't go ring the doorbell at Netflix and say, hey, can you please put my movie in the catalog?
So let's talk YouTube then. You can go as a creator to YouTube, no problem. But YouTube's obviously not ad-free. You guys take a 10% cut.
That's
from
right.
Creators,
well, you have to start with the fundamental benefits of selling versus monetizing with advertising.
Yeah.
The thing about advertising is really to make it work, you need scale. For a creator to generate, say, even $10, a video has to be watched 2,000 times. Now, when you're selling content, you can sell something for $10, you sell it one time.
So you're not as worried about scale, or you're worried about a smaller scale. We're sitting in your office here in this beautiful building on the west side, and on your wall you have a poster for High Maintenance.
Yes.
Talk about the story of that show.
So as we built this marketplace, and High Maintenance was our first original investment, and the show has now been picked up to be a full-time series on HBO.
Right. So does that feel weird?
The fact
that you were sort of a middle stop, or first stop?
Because still HBO is not an open platform. Vimeo is an open platform if you want to deliver HBO-like experiences. There's a film that we actually just premiered this week called Wizard Mode. It's about an autistic pinball champion that I think just perfectly encapsulates all the exciting things about the Vimeo platform and community.
Kerry Trainor, CEO of Vimeo, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.
There's a more in-depth version of that conversation where we talk about how Vimeo deals with data from and for its users. You can hear that at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.